going to hear a story next that's very rarely told. And yet the statistics on this are growing. Talking about men who are victims of domestic violence from women, but sometimes from a same-sex partner. And in Bradford, a brand new service launched in September that exists, yes, to listen to those stories, but also to help men move out of that scenario where they're the victims of physical violence, psychological abuse. Now, that service in Bradford is called Men Standing Up. They've got their funding. They don't have a refuge as such, but they do help men to move on. They run a free helpline. Here's Humayun Islam, who's a service manager there. Really breaking the taboo, saying it's tough for men to admit what's going on.
The barriers are, firstly, is men recognising themselves as suffering domestic abuse. So potentially they may be in a relationship where they've been suffering financial and emotional abuse and they've just seen it as that's part of the relationship. So up until they recognise it, they're going to find it hard to find out what services there are. So there's very limited services for men to come forward. And then it's about them being believed. When they phone up, we believe them, and that is, I think, a breaking point for them where they've actually made that phone call and somebody actually believes them and actually listens to them.
Yes, it's the making the phone call, that first step, and you're going to hear Ian's story in a moment. Meanwhile, we had a little wander around Bradford and we asked men there, did they think a service like this, where men have got a helpline and some help, was a good idea?
They're a bit too proud to admit it, aren't they, man? You won't get a bloke admitting to being up by his wife or his girlfriend, would you? You know.
I think it's a really good thing, yeah, because, like you said, I think it's a well-overlooked issue and it's normally only perceived from the female perception.
People won't talk about it, will they? A man won't. It's just pride.
I think it's a good idea because it's a problem that's been hidden in the past. Some men are embarrassed and humiliated by the fact that this has happened to them, and when they know that there's other people in the same position, there's strength in numbers and they're more likely to come forward.
Going to hear a story now that doesn't often get told, and I'm very grateful because Ian McNichol has come in to see us and is talking to us this morning. Ian, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
I don't think it's easy to tell your story, but what happened to you was horrendous. You were in an abusive relationship. The woman involved here was jailed for 7 years. What sort of a life did you have before that happened?
Well, to put the abuse into context, I lost my business, I lost my home, remained in a homeless shelter for 18 months afterwards. I was unmarked and I now have permanent scars, my face, my chest, my arm, and I'm also now registered disabled. And the abuse took me to the brink of suicide. I actually did contemplate suicide.
The first time it happened, what happened?
I was asked a question about a previous relationship. I gave a response in partly in jest, and I was whacked across the face with a Hoover, and I felt my cheek literally split open. It was horrific.
Didn't expect that.
It was completely out of the blue. I used the phrase, there was a grooming process in the first few months of the relationship, which was all about establishing trust and making me feel like a king.
When that happened, and she hit you with the Hoover and broke your face open. You know, we often ask this when we talk to women who are victims. Why didn't you walk away, Ian?
I think it's such a crucial point that you raise. This process of what I call grooming, where trust is established, there's really manipulative behaviour. And certainly from other victims that I've met, both male and female, at the point that violence starts, the perpetrator knows that they've established control. So I had relationships with families and friends that were broken, and that was because of the manipulative behaviour. And, of course, not having been in a violent relationship, who do you then speak to when that support network's been taken away?
So you stayed, you were scalded with boiling water, your arms were burned with an iron, you were attacked with a metal bar, with a claw hammer, and clearly physically and mentally and emotionally.
Yes.
Horrendous.
Yeah.
Did you tell anybody?
No, and I think one of the surprising things, although I didn't confide in anybody actually until 2 days before the end when I told a neighbour that I'd had enough, I was genuinely excited, I could see a way out, I was going to take my own life. But my injuries were so highly visible, and I think the other issue is in our neighbourhoods and communities looking out for males as well as we quite rightly look out for females.
So why didn't you tell anyone? Because clearly you were being battered.
In my specific case, it was a fear from the manipulative behaviour of family members in organised crime that if I spoke out, I would be killed. So to give you an insight into the mind of a victim, as strange as though it may sound, if you genuinely believed you were going to be killed, and option B is to be beaten and verbally abused, which one are you going to choose? And for many victims, that's what it's about. They don't have a choice.
I think men, you know, we don't often hear your stories. We hear it from women. We talk to those who try and support them. I know you're speaking out now to raise awareness, and you had a horrendous, horrendous time, Ian. But men are less likely, are they, in your view, given different circumstances, but to say, my wife, my partner, my same-sex partner is belting me.
They are, and just to put that into its broader context, to echo the comments of the service provision in Bradford, I'm also an honorary patron of a charity called Mankind. There is a believability issue. There's also the big issue for men is losing contact with their children. And they're two tremendously big barriers to overcome. And I know from my own experience, when trust is in short supply, that first call, that first approach is definitely life-changing, and it can be life-saving.
Very brave, because you're risking everything, aren't you?
Absolutely, but you're really absolutely petrified of not what has gone on, but also that if somebody doesn't believe you, you will then suffer that retribution. So if the police turn up and go away, what's going to happen? It's an awful, awful situation to be in.
In your life now, Ian, physically and emotionally scarred, but where are you? Are you happier?
Oh, I'm much happier. I don't live in fear. My ex-partner's released on licence, but there's some stringent controls there. I've taken the view that what has happened. I can't change it. I wish I could. But by speaking out, it's really about encouraging other men to come forward, because you're not weak, you're not alone, and clearly in Bradford, we've got this help plan, which is very, very pleasing to hear about.
Indeed, it's called Men Standing Up, and if there is anyone on this Wednesday morning listening who's in a man or woman in a similar situation to you, I hope without that level of violence, just finally, what would you say to that man or that woman?
Well, firstly, confide in someone. I absolutely know how difficult that is for you, but please confide in somebody. They will contact the police. You've got the helpline. Police have specially trained domestic abuse officers. The call that you make today, I guarantee, will be life-changing. The abuse will only get worse.
Ian, I am appreciative of the fact you were here. Thank you.
You're very kind. Thank you.